All right. We introduced the phrase practical atheism. It is, the question is, are we who we say we are or who we tell others that we are? We say, I'm a Christian. But oftentimes, what happens is, that's as far as it goes. We tell people we're Christians and we expect them, you know, to understand exactly what that means. But being a Christian is being willing to share the story, being willing to tell the story. And there's various ways that we can do that. We can share the story and tell the story I've often thought, Ralph, what did the New Testament Christians do before they had Bible studies? How did that work? How did the word get around? How did the story, how was it being told then, and why can't we replicate it today? How did they do it? How did they share the story? Come on. Yes, Izone. You were. So spending some time, quality time in their homes, they shared their meals. You go to Acts chapter 2 and you find that out, that the way they were sharing that story, the way that the word was getting around, the story was being told by relationships. You know, we often think of the church, it's more of a community than anything else. It's a community of believers who have so many things in common. They are brought into this body, into what we call the church. And instead of handing somebody a tract back in those days, they would begin to tell. I have nothing against tracts. I have handed out my fair share of tracts in my lifetime. But have you noticed lately that the tract ministry is not Ralph being followed much these days? It seems to be something that has passed us by. So should we not be going back rather than relying on a track, trying to tell the story of Jesus the way we know it best, our experience? Alan and then Jeff. Yes. Talk about it. Talk about it. And you know that's something that is an element that needs, you know, we talk about restoring the church. I think the church needs to be restored to everyone in every generation. Because if we skip a generation, then you end up with a generation that doesn't know the story. And we have to repeat telling the story, not just telling it, but also practicing it and living it. The idea of practical atheism is there are certain things that we will embrace, and then there are certain things like cafeteria Christianity where we say, no, I'll have some of that, but I don't want any of this. It's our faith is not a take it or leave it faith. You buy the whole tamale. You're buying the whole store. And that's what lies at the center of the gospel, is that you have to accept all of it or none of it. That's very important. Tonight is, I believe in God, but I don't want to be a fanatic. I believe in God, but Herman, I don't want to be a fanatic. When you hear the word fanatic, what comes to your mind about that word and religion? What comes to your mind? Somebody who says, I believe in God, but do I have to be fanatical about it? What does fanatic mean to you? Street corner preacher. And yet, you know, I remember in the early days of me becoming a Christian, and even in the days when we lived in Brazil, we were still doing a little bit of street preaching and talking to people. And you know, that is something that you do not see much these days. And when you do see it, what is the first thing that comes into our head? There's something wrong with them. Maybe there's something right with them. Any of you done ever attended street preaching before? Where you would go down, say, to a community center and you would just start talking into the air and people would stop and start listening? In London, there's a place called Hyde Park. And there you can set up your little soapbox and you can warm the air with your words. And there'll be people who will come by, listen to you. Some people will shake their heads. Some people will heckle you. But you know, that is something that not everybody can do. Now, when I say the word boldness, what comes to your mind from your experience of being a Christian? Boldness. We've moved away from fanatic. Now we're going into the word boldness. A lack of timidity. Would you open your Bibles at Acts 4 and verse 31? It would appear to me that what has developed over the years, and it hasn't happened overnight, is that our zealousness, our boldness has been transferred from the rank and file of our members to a professional group of people. We call that the preacher. We call that our minister of evangelism, our family and life minister, our Bible school teachers, our missionaries. Does that let the rest of us off the hook? Does that absolve us from our being bold? And you know, if being bold, if somebody says, you're being bold, but I would call that fanaticism. Fanaticism can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on what you mean by that. Would somebody read verse 31 of Acts chapter 4? Is that the idea of boldness, is that somehow they did it with enthusiasm, or is it more than just enthusiasm? Is that kind of boldness that they were driven by a strong desire, regardless of the consequences, to speak the truth and give the message about Jesus? Alan? So why do we, and I'm saying this generically, why do we shrink back from such boldness today? Criticism? Jeff, I overlooked you. Give me your thought. You've laid it to rest. It seems like we want to be passive. We want to baptize people, but we sort of want them to come to us. We don't want to go from door to door. We don't want to search somebody out. You know, we have all different kinds of relationships. We have different kinds of friendships. And somebody said, well, I don't want to lose my friend if I come across as some sort of a crackpot or fanatic. So I'm not going to say anything about Jesus that might get me into an argument. Then don't start an argument, but look for a way to bring Jesus into the conversation. And the problem is, we're not having enough conversation about Jesus. And really, where all the talking goes on is in this place. And the talking needs to be done out there. I'm going to use Izoni. Izoni sent me an email. Well, it was actually before the email. We were standing right out there in the foyer, and she comes up and she says, I have a friend, and we've been talking. They've been talking about Jesus. And it turns out that this friend, her husband, has been studying the Bible on his own, and she's been studying her Bible, and Izoni and this lady have been entering into several involved conversations about what the Bible says. It wasn't like getting up in their face. It was letting the conversation come to a comfortable place where Jesus is part of the topics that we're talking about. So anyway, long story short, she says, could you contact them? So we started, Ralph and I started sending emails, and then we set up a Bible study. We get into the Bible study and we find that this man is already prepared and ready to be baptized. Then his wife, we meet his wife after a while, and she says, you know something, I've been reading the book as well. Is this what I see it to be? I want to be baptized. And, well, you met Sister Pat Nelson this morning, and Brother Wayne Nelson is hoping that he will make it sometime to worship with all of us here at Mountain View. And every day he's opening his Bible. You know, every day they went to the temple courts. Every day they prayed. Every day they were searching the scriptures like the noble Bereans to see whether these things are so. Does that make those people fanatical? Or does that make them truly people who are tuning in to God? Yeah, they're searching and looking. And the fact is, the Bible says you seek and God will make a promise that you will find it. Okay, would someone read for me Acts 18, verse 26? Acts 18 and verse 26. Who would read that? Ken? Ken the Fozzin? Yes, sir. You know, this was at a time where to talk in Jewish circles about Jesus, because persecutions have already started to rise. It's already started, the heat is getting hot. And the thing is, you know, if we are afraid to bring up Jesus in the conversation, what are the chances that we will be able to share our faith with that individual? Slim to none. How many of you have been involved in any kind of informal Bible study or in a discussion where the name of Jesus or God was brought up in the conversation. Just about everybody. And, you know, it's not always going to end in a conversion. It's not always going to end in a baptism. But the fact is, we need to talk up Jesus. To say that we believe this, but this is what we do, if there's a disconnect between the two, how do we fix that? How do we correct that? Now, some of you I know, maybe you're not as gregarious as I am, or you could talk somebody's legs off like I can. But all of you have enough information within us to give out some information that could help somebody come to Jesus. How do we start that? How do we begin that? Ralph, you and I have had many a conversation about one of the weaknesses here at Mountain View is we have tried and tried and tried to engage as many people as possible, but have only ended up with a few dedicated members who want to be a part of a visitation program, an evangelism program. Is it programs that we need, or is it a rethink? Yeah, point in question. I heard not too long ago someone just went right up to someone and said, "Would you like to teach?" They can either say one or two things, yes or no. But the fact is, we asked the question. We gave them the opportunity. You know, we'll never find people who want to serve unless we ask them to serve. And that's one of our things that we want to continue to cultivate and stimulate here at Mountain View, is to stimulate and cultivate a spirit of, "I'm really glad you asked me to do this," rather than, "I hope he never asked me." Would somebody turn in their Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 20. Kirk, could you read that for me, please? If you don't, tell me no. And verse 20. One can say, well, that's what you expect from an apostle. That's what you expect from a preacher. What should we expect from anyone else? Same thing. We are given the same amount of time, the same amount of life here on this earth. And, you know, to speak boldly is to speak enthusiastically, to speak with devotion, to speak with conviction, to speak with, you know, do you have to know every cotton picking scripture? Or if you know these scriptures, Richard, Dick, that's what you know, that's what you could share. If you only knew one scripture and you could say, "This is what I found out about Jesus, let me share that with you," that to me is a victory. That to me is something that maybe gets the conversation going. Here's another way. What did the early Christians do if they weren't quoting scriptures at one another? What were they doing in their communities with regard to the people who lived around them? How were they doing that, Becky? Yes. And also when you read in the book of Acts chapter 2 in particular, that they began to find favor with the people, and that that relationship was beginning to work like salt, was beginning to work like light. And I want to encourage this congregation that, yes, we believe. Don't think that you be a fanatic, but I do think we have to be in God's camp actively. We need to serve. Find a way to serve. If you don't know what is out there for you to do, talk to Ralph, talk to Larry, talk to Alan, talk to David, talk to me, talk to any of our deacons and say, is there something I could do? And then the next logical question is, what is it that you can do? What is it that you want to do? Jeff, what would you like to do in the kingdom? Reach an. How about teach a class? You know, it's all possible. Yeah. He has the gift of teaching. And you know, you turn that around and you offer it back to God. And so we are all in a unique place, and we need to find a place for the Spirit of God to help us become servants. Next week we're going to look at, so I believe in God, but I think I trust money more. And you know, in the climate that we are living right now, there are more people who have a greater dependence on making money to survive, not just making money to be rich, but making enough money to survive, and God gets pushed to the side. Being a Christian doesn't necessarily mean that God will make you a financial success. That's not the way God works. John, would you close in a word of prayer at this time for us, please?
Our God, we want to come to you to thank you for the many things you do for us. We're so thankful, Father, we can do that. We ask you at this time to be with each one of us as we leave this place. Help us to be have enough boldness to speak out and to speak about Jesus Christ. These things we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. We now have an opportunity to provide communion for those who haven't had the opportunity today. It's going to be served over in the fireside room. If you would like to leave at this time, you will be served. Want to teach you a song.